American Timelines.
Welcome to
American Timelines
with Joe
and Amy.
And this is episode 3, 1992. Before we get started and going with 1992, there's a couple things I'd like to say. That
is that a list of apologies?
Yeah, well, there should be some apologies. But first, a lot of people, a lot of listeners have asked, what is with the amazing intro music that's a perfect fit for the name of our podcast, American Timelines? And yeah. No, it wasn't written for American Timelines. It really wasn't. It actually is the composer, the writer and band is the amazing Matt Truman. He's amazingly talented. Yep, a super talented guy. Blooming. He's from his band. He's got several bands, but the one that's my favorite that I buy all his music is the Matt Truman Ego Trip. So that song is called Chrissy. If you like this podcast, you should look up the Matt Truman Ego Trip. Everything he does is awesome.
Yeah, it's
and,
really good
you
stuff.
You should book him, and he should not have to work a day job because he should just do music because he's awesome.
Yes.
The other thing we have to address, I do want to start making some corrections.
Some apologies.
So I have some corrections and some fact checks from 1991. Maybe some
mostly apologies.
There might be some apologies in order.
Corrections and apologies.
First, I have to say that the maps, I did check, the maps have indeed been updated in Northwood School Systems.
Oh, that's a relief.
To reflect it, Russia.
Good.
They have a brand new school they just built. Like,
that's right. So they wouldn't
school.
Have brought over the old maps that said USSR.
Yeah, so I'm confident that the Northwoodians are being raised correctly to know that it's Russia and not USSR.
Corrections and apologies.
Chick-fil-A, turns out, is actually not run by Nazis.
Oh, good.
And they don't kill any gays. They don't kill anyone.
Okay. I'm relieved about that, too, because my conscience was kind of gnawing.
Yeah, they've never, as far as I know, murdered any gay people, and I think there's a small percentage of them are Nazis. If any.
Just maybe one guy.
There's probably a Nazi.
Some one guy.
I bet if we went
one
to
guy in
Chick-fil-A,
Indiana,
we could find one. Yeah. I don't think they have Chick-fil-A in Indiana, but we could probably find a Nazi.
Yeah.
But generally, they're not owned by Nazis.
But, yeah.
So I was wrong on that. Their chicken is delicious.
Corrections and apologies.
Senator John Hines, who was killed in an airplane crash, he was not covered in ketchup.
Oh, good.
Corrections.
A friend of mine tweeted me.
Mm-hmm.
One of our listeners actually tweeted me. He's now a friend.
One of your listeners.
he was a listener first, and then he became a friend. He tweeted that Stevie Ray Vaughan actually didn't die in an airplane death. It was a helicopter.
Oh, okay.
So nerd. When we say celebrity airplane death, we're
what wrong. Kind of nerd would just?
Well, it was Jim Jaco who.
Oh well, never, there it is. That's exactly.
He's also a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Another correction, Silence of the Lambs was actually not written or directed by Kevin Costner, nor was he in it.
Oh, okay. We were way off on that one.
Right. He also wasn't in Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And
that's right.
He is, in fact, not Ed Gein.
Thought maybe he was. He's such a good actor that he, like, becomes...
That's why, it makes sense why we're mistaken, because he's the greatest actor in American history.
Right.
Corrections next week.
Yeah.
And also, one other correction on the Kevin Costner front. If we were to do a Costner podcast,
yes.
the likelihood that we would vomit from happiness is actually very low.
Oh.
I know, I claim that we would vomit
we're
from
gonna,
happiness.
And that's probably not going to happen on the Kevin Costner podcast.
It probably wouldn't happen if you had a Costner podcast. There might be a Costner pod.
I'm going to interrupt you just because you're blathering on a lot.
Yeah.
But before anybody asks, I have a horrible head cold.
Oh,
so
yes.
That is why I sound... even worse and even more Midwestern than I normally do.
Yeah.
Because
Amy's got a bad head cold.
I got it from somebody else in this house that I will remain nameless.
One of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had a really bad upper respiratory infection, everyone. So
yes, he did.
Lucky we didn't record this last week. It would have been.
Because he was being a big fat baby. About
I was being a small fat baby.
That's
not a
right.
big fat baby. Okay, so I think that's. The end of the Kevin Costner corrections.
Corrections and apologies.
Ew.
Another thing in the last episode, I really thought I was right about this, and I was wrong. But remember we talked about for some reason we talked about it in 1934. So I think we're talking about movies that have won all three of
them. Oh, yeah, the trifecta.
And I said in 1934 wasn't really that big of a deal because there's only three movies out.
Oh,
and I looked
more.
Up and there were actually more than a couple. There was a bunch of movies.
I could have told you that.
Well, you didn't. You agreed with me. You totally agreed with me when I said there were
only three.
I thought
you were being sarcastic.
No, I don't know when I'm being sarcastic. I'm an idiot. No, but I will say they weren't good. None of them
Right, they never were.
None of them were good in the 30s, so fuck you, 30s people who lived in the 30s.
We'll
movies.
Get to the 30s.
And you know, anybody
Let's
who...
Let's just cool it. We'll get to the 30s.
I just want to say this. All you people that grew up in the 30s, fuck you guys.
Corrections and apologies.
Another correction on my part. Liz Taylor actually isn't the best.
Oh, actually, for some reason, she was the best?
Yeah, we brought up one of her divorces. And I was like, oh, Liz Taylor's the best.
Why did you say that?
I don't
that?
Know why I would have even said that.
Corrections and apologies.
Also, there's no evidence that Sergei Krikalev has three scrotums.
That's not been proven.
It's not anywhere.
But it hasn't been disproven.
Oh, I scoured the internet for that.
Did you really?
I did. I searched on Google three scrotums.
And
everywhere. Image searched. And barely anybody has three scrotums, apparently.
But you did probably catch a few eyeballs of it if you Google image searched
I didn't see much.
Corrections and apologies.
Al Gore did not kill Tim Berners-Lee.
Oh, the guy that invented the internet.
Yeah, he's still alive, actually.
Wow.
Corrections and apologies.
You're going to be excited about this one. Remember we were talking about the CD record clubs where you could buy
BMG.
I think it was BGM.
BMG. I'm positive it was BMG.
All right, BMG. The other one was Columbia House.
Yes.
Remember that?
Columbia is House. Right. That was the big one.
Corrections and apologies.
Also, City Slickers did not star Kevin Costner. And Hook also did not star Kevin Costner.
Did we
Costner.
Say that one, too?
I think I did. And neither did Terminator 2.
Okay.
And he also wasn't all the voices in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
So that,
I'm glad that's cleared up.
That's the extent of the corrections that we know that we've screwed up.
Okay.
There could be future ones.
What is this episode going to be about now that we did that for 85 years?
1992. Let's say it together.
1992.
Before we dive deep into 92, something I had a revelation that what's going to happen this season on American Timelines.
A what?
A little preview, not to give a spoiler alert.
We meet. Yeah.
We're going to meet because I was thinking about this. At the beginning of this decade, we were children who didn't know
I was
each
in
other.
High school.
Well, you
I
were
was
still
almost
a child.
In college.
You were still a child, but, I mean, we had pubes, but we were young pubes.
You might not have.
I did. I got them early.
when you were four?
In junior high, me and Rob Jones were the only ones with hair on our legs. And
I thought you were going to say pubes.
No, hair on our legs.
I was like, why
pubes.
Do you know?
Those are pubes, kind of.
What?
Right?
No.
Leg
hair is
pubic
hair.
It's
no.
pubis.
No.
You don't have hair on your legs unless you have hair on your balls. So, regardless, at the beginning of this season, the beginning of the decade.
Let's go back to talking about pubes.
No. The beginning of the episode.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
The beginning of the season, we are kids who don't know each other in different states.
We have our coming of age in the 90s.
Yes, and by the end of this episode, this season, and by episode 10, we will be engaged and
That's
living
right.
together.
That's right.
So as we get through this, it's
well,
spoiler alert, we're going to meet each other. We're going to fall in love. We're going to move in together. We're going to get to this. That's an exciting thing that I just realized. But now we're 92, so we're getting closer to
that event.
We're still not there yet. You're still in St. Louis?
I was in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Oh, you were in college.
At the lovely Southeast Missouri State University.
Anyway, you were in college.
Yes.
And you were doing theater.
Yes. I haven't thought of it for so long.
Were any of the guns in your college? Or were
no, they all went to like Fordham University in New York and stuff.
Now, you forgot to mention that you when you were in high school that you mentioned you knew the guns.
Yes, I did.
James Gunn and Sean Gunn?
I met James Gunn once. But Sean Gunn was one of my best friends, and Matt Gunn and I were in plays together.
I don't know
so
who that is, but I thought James Gunn. Which one's the one who directed it? James Gunn.
James Gunn.
Sean Gunn's the one who was
is in it
in the Galaxy Guardians of the Galaxy.
And he was in Gilmore Girls and stuff.
Yeah.
And
so Amy knows those guys. Ha ha! Boom in your face, everybody. But anyway,
and Matt Gunn writes comedy for Bill Maher.
Oh, Bill Maher's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was in high school, but now we're in college at Southeast Missouri State University.
That's right.
SEMO, which I had never heard of until I met you.
Yeah.
No offense.
And you were still in high school.
When this was, 92 was the year my friends and I picked up the video camera and we started making movies.
Oh, we did that in high school, so yeah.
Videos and Beastie Boys videos and music videos and
that's right.
Taking our shirts off at McDonald's and videotaping, going to Kroger's at 2 in the morning and making videos. This was the beginning of it.
Yeah.
So 92 was, I started having a lot of fun. I was a sophomore. And I started having friends who could drive, so we'd go drive around, go barfing and stuff like that. So, but we still didn't know each other.
1992.
We want a credit. We need to give credit where credit is due. Some of our info comes straight from popculture.us.
The top song was I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Oh, God.
Again, a song from a damn Kevin Costner movie.
A Kevin Costner movie. That's right.
And
he can't. He's stalking our podcast.
Son of a bitch. God, Kevin Costner sucks. All of you listeners who like him, he sucks. But this Whitney Houston song was obviously a redone. It was a Dolly Parton song.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think I went back and listened to Dolly Parton one. That's good.
Yeah.
Probably better. And I'm not even a country fan.
Whitney Houston was freakish in her...
She was unbelievable.
Like she was almost... If I believe in aliens, she would be somebody I... Until she got all fucked up. She was like... was like the most... physically beautiful thing to look at, and her voice was flawless. Like I couldn't believe it's amazing when you think of it, but then she was such a tragic
but don't you think somebody person. Like that, I mean it's all good Bobby Brown, but don't you think that's because with that, like, I am unbelievably beautiful.
I'm just saying it's unreal how otherworldly she was.
No, that's what I'm saying, but maybe that's why she got so messed up.
Right, right. I see what you're saying.
I have no peers in the world. Anyway, Whitney Houston was unbelievable. Although, I'm Gonna Dance with Somebody was pretty shitty.
1992
was the last year that both the Winter and Summer Olympic Games shared the same year.
Oh, I thought they always did. You can tell how much I don't care about Olympics.
I honestly don't have any idea when they are ever either. Yeah. Whenever they are, I'm like, oh...
I don't get it.
Olympics again?
I'm surprised you don't love it because you love all these other boring things. So, you know, like football and baseball. Baseball, if I couldn't drink at a baseball game, I would pass out,
I've
think,
never
just
understood
from
Olympics. Like, not even for a second. Like, I can't even watch them for a second. I'm like,
yeah, I don't
who cares?
I don't know any
of the people. I don't understand the sports.
Yep.
What the hell is curling?
Right.
Any of it. Like, none of it. I never care about it. It's just an inconvenience.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's like, oh, great, people are going to be talking about this.
I guess when I was little, I would watch ice skating because it was pretty girls and shiny things. But other than that, no.
And well, then how is that a sport? How do you win?
1992.
The spinner hubcap was
invented.
Spinners
Thank
were invented.
God.
By James J.B. Gregg.
God. How did we live without spinners?
The guy who invented the spinner hubcap was from Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1992. James J.D. Gregg. My name's J.D. Gregg. I'm going to come up with some spinners.
Now they just use them for sight gags in movies.
1992.
A shipping container filled with 28,000 rubber ducks was lost in the Pacific Ocean in 1992.
Oh, my God. How many?
28,000. To this day, they're still being found around the world.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
That's cool.
Find a rubber ducky.
To know
that
they came from that.
1992.
Marissa Tomei won Best Supporting Actress for her performance in My Cousin Vinny.
It was in big uproar.
Yeah, I remember
people said she didn't deserve it and stuff.
Oh, I just remember she was super hot. And
she looked like your ex-girlfriend, though, right?
No, and I don't think so, but...
You always like those dark-haired girls.
I like all kinds of ladies, but...
Wait a minute.
My Cousin Vinny stands out to me because the VHS tape that had My Cousin Vinny on it that we used, we taped over it with shit breath.
Oh, my God.
So we always knew the shit breath video because it said My Cousin Vinny. And it had a line through My Cousin Vinny, and it said shit breath on it.
Classic.
It was Jim Jaco's original...
Cinematic masterpiece.
His parents taped My Cousin Vinny, and then we taped over it with shit breath. The greatest video of all time. And if you don't know what shit breath is...
All right, let's not waste any more time.
No.
Shit breath.
Never brush his teeth, he's shit breath. Never use a breath mint, he's shit breath.
Everyone,
keep reading.
Shit breath is a great movie. Everyone needs to know about shit breath. It's going to be re-released on Blu-ray. It's about a guy who eats his own poop, but he has terrible breath. Anyway.
1992.
Singer Sinead O'Connor, best known as a bald singer and for her hit Nothing Compares to You, tore up a picture of Pope John Paul II on Saturday Night Live.
I remember that.
Declaring, fight the real enemy. I remember there being a bunch of controversy about her, but I don't know that I was aware of why.
Or
that I even cared.
Yeah.
I also didn't realize how great that song was.
Yeah.
Nothing Compares to You is great.
Yeah, it is.
Chris Cornell did an awesome version of it.
Oh, God. Chris Cornell seems like an angel.
Rest in peace. He's the best. He did an unbelievable version of it. Prince's version. Yes. Prince actually, he wrote it, but he did a different version of it, which is awesome.
Yes.
Her version's great, too. I mean, every version of it's awesome that I've heard.
I don't know if she did much else, though.
No, she really didn't do much else.
I mean, that's somebody will probably say, what the fuck? What's wrong with you? Of course
you
did.
You idiot. She did this, this, and that. Yeah, remember when she did that? These boots are made for walking.
We pride ourselves on being idiots. So
yeah, we are idiots, so
we're the first people to admit that
we're
idiots.
I will admit it. You tell me what I did wrong, and then I said something stupid, and I'm like, oh, well, guess what? I'm an idiot.
That's
so
right.
So what?
So I get licensed, baby.
Screw you. Try being an idiot for once, and you know how it is.
That's right.
Dude.
1992.
Long Island Lolita, Amy Fisher. Long Island Lolita, Amy Fisher, shot the wife of her lover, Joey Buttafuoco.
That's right.
Pronounced Buttafuoco.
Buttafuoco.
Buttafuoco, sorry.
Not Buttafuoco.
Mary Jo Buttafuoco in the face.
And she had no right to...
She shot the wife of her lover, Joey Buttafuoco, Mary Jo Buttafuoco in the face. Mary Jo survived and later divorced her husband. Joey Buttafuoco.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard that name.
All about the Buttafuoco thing?
Oh, my. I remember we were in this college. We were joking about going as Amy Fisher for Halloween. Oh,
Amy Fisher and Joey Buttafuoco.
Yes.
Where's the Me Too movement now? Amy Fisher needed it. Joey Buttafuoco.
No, honey, Amy Fisher killed her.
No, she didn't kill her.
She shot her in the face.
Yeah, but probably because Joey Buttafuoco was all forcing her to do all that.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not, but still, Joey Buttafuoco was
she was
gross.
I know, but she was into him.
Gross. Joey Buttafuoco. Joey Buttafuoco, who was a piece of shit.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, he was a piece of garbage.
All right, what else?
Anyway.
I wonder what he's doing now.
God, I forgot all about that. We should Google that.
We should.
He's probably dead,
what's
right?
he doing now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's probably in jail.
He's
got to be in jail.
I wonder if Amy Fisher's still in jail.
Let's look this up, we'll be like, yes, on the next episode, Joey Buttafuoco is in jail. I would be shocked if he wasn't in jail.
Yeah, I bet he is.
1992.
President George H.W. Bush vomited on Japanese Prime Minister Keiichi Miyazawa during a state dinner.
Right? I don't think so.
Miyazawa.
So he barfed on him?
Don't you remember that when President H.W.
I remember when he choked on a pretzel, or was that W?
That's W. H.W. threw up.
He did?
You don't remember this?
No.
It's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life.
Your whole life? And you got married and kids?
President George H.W. Bush vomited on the Japanese Prime Minister.
I don't remember that.
Keiichi Miyazawa during a state dinner.
God, there must have been Saturday Night Live.
He like projectile vomited.
There must have been Saturday Night Live skits about that.
Oh, yeah. Dana Carvey was all over that shit.
Was he barfing on everybody?
Not goddamn.
Was he?
Yes. It was hilarious. It was the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Not kind of dead blah.
I'm sure he did that. I mean, it was like, it was nonstop hilarity.
Yep.
Oh, it was hilarity ensued. It was the greatest thing. I just remember savoring that and being like, oh my God, thank God that happened.
It was funny.
Thank God Bush threw up all over that guy.
Yep.
And they had video of it.
Really?
Yeah, he just like vomited all over the guy.
Oh my God.
So great.
1992.
Comedian automobile death. Oh, there's a comedian.
Oh, they're mixing it up.
Instead of an airplane celebrity death, there's a comedian automobile death.
Comedian automobile
death. The comedian automobile.
I know it. Sam Kinison.
Yeah, all comedians die in car crashes. Everybody
but that's
knows.
The one I remember. Sam Kinison.
Sam Kinison, a drunk driver hit his car.
Yep. A drunk driver hit him? I thought he was loaded.
Comedian automobile death, Sam Kinison, a drunk driver hit his car. Sad.
Yep. Yeah, he screams.
I loved him. Kind of chubby guy screaming at everybody.
1992.
Paul Link, not Paul Lind, L-Y-N-C-K, Link,
mm-hmm.
Paul Link,
mm-hmm.
did 124 push-ups with one finger.
What? One finger?
A cock push-up.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, with one finger. He's from
that's
Great Britain.
That's not true.
I can fucking do that.
No.
That's nothing. I could do that today.
One finger.
I could do 125.
You can't do a push-up with one finger. Think about that. Think about that anatomically.
I can do it. My finger's strong. Maybe he had a big
You can't lift your entire body up with one finger.
Maybe he had a fat-ass finger.
I'm doubting
this. Why couldn't that bitch do 125? Only 124?
I don't know about that one.
I can do it.
I don't know about that one.
1992.
The first text message ever was sent in 1992 by Neil Papworth. And you know what?
I'm Neil Papworth.
I'm going to send a text message. Do you know what it said?
What?
Merry Christmas.
That's stupid.
It had to be typed from a PC, as phones didn't allow text entry.
1992.
Star Trek TNG.
The Next Generation.
Oh, that's what that stands for. Episode SO5E117, The Outcast, featured a plea for equal rights and treatments of LGBT peoples.
That's awesome.
Along with a statement, they were born how they are.
That's really cool.
That's real early.
Yeah, that is pretty for that stuff.
Because 92, everyone was homophobic. So
that's right.
No, that's really cool. I had no idea that happened that early. And
it makes me like that show.
It makes me want to support Star Trek.
Even though it's bored me to tears whenever I've seen it. But I really only watched the first Star Trek.
The Next Generation had
I just never got into it.
What's the guy?
I wasn't a real sci-fi person.
It had the bald guy who loves...
Dreamy, Patrick Stewart.
Patrick's Dreamy.
1992.
A white guy from Canada is in the Guinness Book of World Records twice for having the best-selling reggae single in U.S. history, as well as the highest charting reggae single in history. Oh, God.
A white guy from Canada.
Yeah, you'll remember. Oh,
What is it? Who is it?
It's the stupidest song ever.
What is it?
Informa.
That snow guy?
Snow. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Informa.
A licky boom boom down.
A licky boom boom down. Informa.
Yes, I do remember that song.
Now, I will say this reminds me
of... That's reggae?
That's reggae, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Informa. I thought it was rap.
It was kind of rapish reggae, but...
Now it's time for... What would a 9-year-old girl think?
Young 9-year-old girl, you've now watched the entire video for Snow, Informer. What are your thoughts?
It was bad.
Really bad.
It was really bad. Why?
Because they were twerking.
Back in 1992? I can't believe that they were twerking. Do you know what he was singing about?
It wasn't English. I couldn't understand him, but the pictures say that he was, like, in prison or something.
Yeah.
And
did you think it was a catchy song?
Sort of.
Do you know what licky boom boom down means?
No. It's not English. I don't know what it means.
That guy's from Canada.
Oh.
So pretty bad overall out of 5 stars.
Five being the best.
Zero
being the worst. How many would you give that?
Okay. Zero.
You'll never listen to that again?
No, but like... Without the music video, I would probably watch it like...
You'd listen
one other time.
Without the video?
Yes, like one other time.
That was on the radio all the time in 92.
I feel bad for you guys.
Well, thank you, Audrey.
1992.
Hurricane Andrew hit Florida.
Yes, I remember that.
Destroying a facility housing Burmese pythons, releasing them into the wild.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
There are now thousands of the non-native snakes.
That's not good, honey.
No.
1992.
Mortal Kombat was the first game to get a mature rating by ESRB, the Entertainment Software Rating Board.
Okay.
It was the game directly responsible for the creation of the ESRB.
Oh, I wonder what was wrong with it. It just real violent?
I think it's bloody.
Yeah,
okay. Like one of the first ones that had blood. Because still, graphics weren't that good.
Right, it was probably the little pixelated blood that would come up.
Yeah, and jizz. Probably blood and jizz.
1992.
Michael Jordan was the ambassador of Nike, but his team was sponsored by Reebok. His uniform had a Reebok patch on the right shoulder. Jordan carried an American flag on his right shoulder to completely hide the Reebok logo, proclaiming that the American flag cannot deface anything.
Oh. So he was a corporate whore for Nike.
Yeah, Air Jordans.
It's not like he was being some patriotic, idealist.
No.
He was a whore for Nike.
Right. He was not being, right.
All right.
1992.
In 1992, McDonald's sold a burger called the McJordan. that included all of Michael Jordan's hair.
No.
No. In 1992, McDonald's sold a burger called the McJordan that included all of Michael Jordan's favorite toppings, okay. One of which was barbecue sauce. In 2012, an unopened gallon of 20-year-old McJordan barbecue sauce sold on eBay for $9,995 in 2012.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's 20 years later.
A 20-year-old bottle of it, though? Why would somebody buy
gallon,
that?
A gallon of it.
A gallon of it?
Someone has that right now.
And they spent almost $10,000 for it.
Do you think they ate it?
No.
You think it's sitting in a sports
bar?
They want
to sell it 20 more years,
it's in
probably.
A sports bar on a shelf. Like, this is Jordan. It's got to be in Chicago, right?
1992.
In the 1992 Olympic basketball dream team did not call a single timeout the entire Olympic tournament.
Oh.
That was the thing I was going to say when we were talking about Olympics earlier, and it sucked, and nothing is ever good.
Yeah, that was the exception.
The only time I ever thought it was cool was like, and I was like, why did we never do this sooner?
Going basketball?
We have Patrick Ewing and Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas and Dennis
Rodman. Oh, putting them on the same team.
We have the greatest basketball players in the world. Why are we sending five white guys to go play basketball on our Olympic team every year? Like, five idiot white guys that
That's
don't
true.
Even play college.
That's right.
And then finally in 92, they did it. It was the dream team, and they, like, dominated everybody.
I bet.
They were really good.
I bet it would be exciting to watch something like that.
And then we had, like, Olympics dream team cups at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff. You know, all that stuff happened. Anyway, but that was kind of exciting to see all those guys playing on the same team. It was like an all-star team against Russia, like slamming over them and everything.
1992.
MTV introduced the Real World reality TV show in 1992. Prior to this, the network was known for running music videos.
Yeah, you imagine that, anybody.
Believe it or not, which is what it fucking should still fucking
I know.
Be. Even MTV2 and MTV3, like there's one.
None of them are videos, I don't think, right?
There's one that I guess just plays videos, but it's like MTV7.
It's so stupid.
Because they have so many stupid shows that idiots watch. People know these shows, these MTV shows. God.
I don't know any of them anymore.
The Real World, I think
it's still on.
I think they're on Real World 78.
Yeah.
No, but they have like crazy shows now. Like
People.
Oh, what do I want to date? A waffle or a person? Let's see.
Yeah.
Here's my date with a waffle. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever it is.
1992.
Upper Deck put baseball players with porn star sounding names at numbers ending in 69.
What?
Dick Schofield at number 269. Heathcliff Slocum at 569. And Dickie Thon at 769.
Dickie Thon?
Dickie Thon.
1992.
The cost of a Super Bowl ad in 1992.
Here
we should
go.
Rename our podcast to the cost of,
cost
a, Super
of a Super
Bowl
ad.
$850,000.
It's getting up there.
It only went up $50,000.
It's getting up there.
1992.
I'll give you a deep dive.
Deep dive.
It's a mystery case that I decided to cover, and it's called the Springfield Three.
The Springfield Three.
And this is Springfield, Missouri.
Hey.
So it's my stomping grounds. It was the high school graduation for Suzanne Streeter and Stacy McCall, and they were these two senior girls.
They're twins?
No, their last names are different, so that would mean that they're not related.
Fuck you. They're
and
friends?
They're friends, yes.
And they're seniors.
It was their graduation night.
At same age as Andy, my brother.
Yes, and so
Andy's got a giant head.
There was a school-sponsored graduation party, like at one of those lock-ins, those dry, whatever.
After the graduation. But there's still the ceremony at the school.
They had the ceremony.
Yeah.
But that night, instead of doing the school thing, they decided to do a hotel party.
Okay. These two girls did.
Yes. On June 6th, 1992 is when they had
they decided to
graduated.
Go to a hotel.
So
the cool kids probably were
going to the hotel. Yeah,
that's where you get a bathtub full of beer.
They just at first weren't going to stay the night at the hotel, and then the next day there was a big group of kids that were planning on going to a water park, and then they decided they wanted to stay at their friend Janelle's house, who was with them.
Janelle's one of their friends.
Yes.
What's Janelle's last name? Do we know?
They were going to stay.
Janelle's a bitch.
I do.
We're going to stay at Janelle's house. Wait a minute. So after
Janelle Kirby.
After the hotel party, they're staying at Janelle's? They're going back
that's
to
what,
Janelle's?
Yeah, they're
going to
spend the night at Janelle's. But
Or is that what they tell their parents?
No, that's what they were planning on doing.
Okay.
But Janelle had all these family over.
Oh, no.
So they decided they didn't want to be cramped and
Janelle's
staying there.
Family,
so at the last minute, they decide to go to Susie Streeter's house. to sleep.
Now, Susie Streeter is one of the
one of the three girls.
Well, Janelle's got friend. She's got her Aunt Mabel over, so we got because
she and she
Susie
shared
Streeter's
Susie
house.
Streeter shared the house with her mother,
okay,
Cheryl Levitt.
Okay,
so
Cheryl
and
Levitt
was a
Susie
single
Streeter
mom.
Had different names, single mom. Gotcha.
Okay, so, Cheryl Levitt was 47. She was divorced. She recently bought the house, so they had just moved in not too long ago. And she was a cosmetologist.
Oh.
She'd been at home that night.
Cheryl, the mom, was 47. She said, girls, come on over here.
Yes.
Or
so,
boys, too.
No, it's just party. Susie and Stacy.
Oh, just two girls. Come on over. A lot of S names.
And so Cheryl had been at home. She had been on the phone with a friend until 11:15 because she was refinishing a dresser or something, and they were talking.
Uh-huh.
And so that's like the last thing we know of her. That was the last person to speak to her, was this friend on the phone.
Well, okay. Well, the girls were home?
No, the girls weren't there yet.
They weren't home yet.
Not yet. They don't get home till 2 a.m.
Oh. And so 11 o'clock is the last we hear from Cheryl.
Yes. Oh, and all three of these girls have never been... The mystery is that they...
The three high school girls.
No, the two girls and the mom.
Okay, that's the three women.
Have never been seen again since this night.
Oh, my God.
So the last person to talk to... Mom, Cheryl Levitt, the mom.
Cheryl
was a
mom's
friend
name.
On the phone. And okay. So...
at 11.
It's assumed that the two girls made it home around 2 a.m. They were seen... Well, no, they were seen at 2:30 a.m. around Battlefield Road in Springfield.
Uh-huh.
And it's believed that they arrived safely at home because their cars were in the driveway and their belongings were inside the house. Huh. Like...
So they came in, brought their stuff down.
Yeah, the purses, the clothes, cigarettes, makeup was all there. They were all smokers, I guess. So around 8 a.m. the next morning, her friends, they all were going to go to this water park together. Whitewater water park, it's called.
Okay.
It was called that. Their friend Janelle Kirby, the one that they were at first going to stay the night with, she calls their house about 8.
Oh, because she's ready to go. Morning.
It's the next morning.
I got
this
all my family
7th,
here, and I can't wait to get out of here on June 7th.
Yes.
On June 7th, 1992, on TV that night, this was a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because Saturday night was the night of the graduation.
The graduation night.
Sunday,
right.
On TV was the NBA Finals, Game 3. Michael Jordan had 26 points against the Portland Trail Blazers, and they won 94-84. On Fox was True Colors, Parker Lewis Can't Lose,
yes.
The Simpsons, and Rock.
See, The Simpsons were on with Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
At this point, in 92, they were.
Oh.
Apparently, in 91, they weren't.
Okay.
But by 92,
I knew
they
that was part of the
Sunday
night,
yeah,
lineup.
I do, too, but apparently they weren't always.
Oh, okay.
So I remember that differently, too.
Yeah.
60 Minutes of Murder, She Wrote were on TV this
yes.
night. Life Goes On, America's Funniest Home Videos.
But now we're in the morning, though. We're not at the night yet.
Oh,
so that's kind of confusing.
But later that night, this was
this
on.
This is what was on.
On the day. And the top movies at the time were Patriot Games, Sister Act, Alien 3, Far and Away, and Lethal Weapon 3. The top music was Crisscross. Jump was the number one song.
Oh,
so
Daddy'll Make You.
They
jump,
were dancing
jump.
To that night.
Daddy Mac will make you.
Red Hot Chili Peppers Under the Bridge was
yeah.
a slow song. En Vogue, My Lovin', Never Gonna Get
Oh,
it,
I loved
En
Vogue.
That was a big song then. I'll Be There by Mariah Carey, Live Unplugged, which I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
And, of course, Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back. And, honey, bear with me, but in the wrestling world,
okay.
Typhoon and Earthquake were two big fat guys, and they were in a feud with Money, Inc. Irwin R. Scheister, IRS,
oh my God.
And Million Dollar Man.
It's such a soap opera for dudes.
Well, very sadly, though, the Big Boss Man was savagely attacked. The Big Boss
by
Man,
who?
Big Boss Man was a prison guard.
Yeah.
He was savagely attacked by an ex-convict named Nails.
Jeez. And, it's so dumb.
To quote Gorilla Monsoon, in 30 years, never have I seen anyone take a beating like that. Nails really took the wood to the Boss Man, possibly terminating his career.
Oh, that's so sad.
But
broken up by that.
But he didn't. And remember when I told you last year's episode, Sergeant Slaughter was fighting for the Iraqis and Hulk Hogan defeated him by ripping an Iraqi
yes,
flag?
Yes.
Well, Sergeant Slaughter in 1992 was back to a U.S. guy waving
okay.
a flag and fighting a Canadian guy.
A Canadian guy.
Yeah, the Mountie.
Oh, my God.
The Mountie. And the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, was feuding with Bret the Hitman Hart, and they were vying for the Intercontinental
Jeez.
Championship. One of the greatest quotes in American history
yes.
was
from a wrestler.
It was in 1992. And you tell me if you think it's a wrestler, but I'm going to read this quote.
Okay.
And you're going to be mesmerized by the All great. Right. Here's the quote. You tell me. What
okay,
you think
okay,
of it,
okay, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah, Ric Flair. I'm going to rock you. Yeah, because I'm bad to the bone. Oh, yeah. Understand the fact that I'm the World Wrestling Federation
champion.
You got
to say it in the voice. You got to do the voice.
And you're not, Mr. Perfect. Tell Ric Flair what I just said because he's not listening, obviously.
Now, was Mr. Perfect the manager or the little guy with the microphone, the little nerdy guy?
No, Mr. Perfect was a wrestler. Oh, okay. He hurt his back, so he's a manager now at this point.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm telling you right now that I'm going to beat you some way, by hook or by crook. Am I saying I'm going to hurt you? Well, possibly,
All
maybe,
right.
yeah.
So,
read between the lines. I don't like you, Ric Flair. And you think that you are so cool.
This is really not
but
necessary.
But you're not. No, you're not. Uh-huh. Too hot to handle and too cold
right.
to hold.
Anybody listening will have turned this
too
off
cold
by
to hold.
Now.
Listen to the rest. I am living on the edge, yeah. Ric Flair, you shouldn't even come knocking on my door because nobody's home. I'm the type of person that's going to survive no matter what happens, yeah. And when the smoke clears and when the people are
I
leaving
quit.
The building, they're all going to be whispering to each other that the World Wrestling Federation champion
right,
is still the Macho Man, Randy Savage,
that's
bad
the
to the bone.
It was
oh,
all
yeah,
talking.
I am. Mr. Perfect, understand that Bobby the Brain Heenan and all the Nature Boy fans can't
all
stop
right.
this from happening. Ric Flair, I'm pointing my finger at
all
you.
Right, that's
I'm going to get you. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to hurt you. Yeah.
All right. I can't believe
now,
you said that whole thing.
You shouldn't have interrupted because that was art.
No, there's
he
no...
made all that up on the spot.
Oh, my God. Kill me. So, the next morning,
yes.
Janelle Kirby, her friend,
it's June 7th,
calls about 8 a.m., and there's no answer. So, her and her boyfriend decide to go over there around 9
mm-hmm.
to see if the girls had left without them. They thought maybe they had
oh,
gone ahead.
Oh, they went to the water park already.
To the water park, yeah. As they approached the house, they could see that the porch light was broken. Now, the bulb wasn't broken. It was just the casing.
Okay.
And it was broken onto the porch.
There was glass.
And
on the porch.
So there was. And so
signs of
one
struggle.
Of the, well, the boyfriend decided to clean it up.
Mitch?
Mike.
Was his name Mitch?
Mike. It was Mike.
God, Mike.
He decided to clean up the glass.
Yeah.
Just being nice.
Right.
Not
nice
realizing
guy.
That they were contaminating a crime scene.
Oh,
by
he
by
fucked
doing
up.
That.
Stupid Mike. Idiot.
So. Then they realized the door's unlocked. The front door was unlocked.
Wide
and that,
open. You don't do that in Missouri.
And Janelle, that made them kind of think, well, something might be wrong.
Oh, no.
So then they went in the house, and then they noticed that everything was fine. There was no sign of a struggle.
Right.
The cars were all in the driveway,
yeah.
all three cars. But Susie, Stacy, and Sherelle were nowhere to be found.
They weren't there.
Right. They just weren't
Nobody
there.
Home.
The other thing,
Must be at
the dog, park. They had a dog, Cinnamon.
Cinnamon
and the
that
dog
was
yeah, I know and the dog was very upset it seemed like it was very upset and then the TV was turned to a like
the
a
dog,
snow channel.
The dog seemed distraught.
Seemed agitated
let's can we just say that Cinnamon is a stupid name
yes,
for a dog
it is a very stupid name
come
for a
on
dog.
Come on
think of something better
come on
yes but the TV was on but it was turned to one of those snow
Yeah, so
like
it was
static,
not right to the right
and,
channel,
and it, so but
something was disconnected. The cable was disconnected.
Something is wrong, or
yeah.
or you know, it, this was
there's snow on the TV. The dog's upset.
You
there's
have to turn it to
porch.
A snow. Like you remember, there's
yeah.
like five channels,
yeah.
and you have to turn the dial.
You have to turn it wrong,
and you have to turn it onto a wrong thing for it to be
yeah.
snow because there's
or
only
the
snow in the middle of the night.
Or the cable's got to be disconnected.
But they probably didn't have cable.
They might have.
Yeah, I guess they could have. Their purses were there.
Oh,
and Cheryl's had $800 cash in it too, and it was there.
It was all there.
Everything was there. Their cigarettes were there, and I guess Cheryl, the mom, was a pretty heavy smoker.
Were their car keys there?
Car keys were there.
Everything was there.
Everything was there, and the beds appeared to be slept in. Now they don't know if maybe they just had never people like we are sometimes that don't always make the bed.
Hey,
maybe that was what
don't
it was.
Air
but
our dirty laundry.
Well, it's ridiculous. I ask you one thing. I ask you to do one fucking bed. Thing around here.
You
make
ask
the
me,
bed, and
wait,
and you
one
refuse.
Thing,
you
one thing
openly refuse.
You ask me to do 25.
All right.
Do the dishes. Do the laundry.
All right, so
make the bed. Wash my feet.
All right. So what do we have so far? We have
okay,
porch
here's
light
what
broken.
I, here, wait. You're the one who's droning on and on. So here's I'll
all
tell
right,
you what
you
I've understood.
Me. Okay.
Macho Man, Randy
no,
Savage.
Stop it.
There's broken glass on the porch that Mike screwed up, the fucking idiot, and
yep.
cleaned up because he just thought it was a mistake. But their cars are there. Their keys are there. Their purses are there.
Yes.
Their beds look slept in. Everything must be fine. There's snow on the TV, and the dog's upset. So something
That's
just
right.
happened. If the dog's still upset, because we all know
dogs
are fucking stupid.
Forget
and,
things.
And they forget
in a blink of an eye.
So something must have just happened.
That's smart, sweetheart.
I know dogs.
Yeah,
my dog,
you do know dogs.
This dog right here is a fucking idiot.
That's
I go
true.
Get the mail.
That's true.
She thinks I've been gone for 25 years.
So just before Janelle and her boyfriend are getting ready to leave, the phone rings. And Janelle answers it. The caller didn't identify himself, but he was an obscene phone caller. So he started
somebody
making...
Somebody called the house? Though.
Somebody called the house.
Landline.
Landline house.
No
it rang.
Phones.
She went over and answered it,
Janelle
and it was an obscene phone caller.
Oh.
And he was making all this sexual stuff, so she hung up.
Could be unrelated.
And then he calls again immediately, and she hangs up again.
Now I don't think it's unrelated.
So her and her boyfriend leave, but that's just weird that happened,
it
you know,
weird.
That same day.
Now where do they go? Do they go to the water park?
They probably did. They probably just left and
probably
decided. They don't notify authorities or anything.
No, because they assumed.
They assume,
well,
I guess they're gone.
That's a crazy dog.
And they're teenagers.
And idiots left their TV on, and teenagers ain't smart.
So the next visitor was Stacy's mom.
I'm talking to you, Jenny Schwartz.
Janice McCall, Stacy's mom, was the next visitor. So this is one of the two missing girls' mom. The other one. The other missing girl's mom.
Okay, the girl's mom, Stacy.
Stacy's mom, Janice McCall, was the
next
visitor.
Janice McCall shows up because she's like, where's my daughter?
What time
is it?
She decided to call on her daughter in person, since she hadn't heard from her since the night before. So it was.
She's probably mad, too. Like, why didn't you call?
Right.
She thinks she's going to see her daughter and yell at her.
Yeah, so this is almost, you know, 12 hours later that since she's seen her daughter. So
yeah, 12 hours.
So she goes in, she sees the doors unlocked, and she goes into the house.
Okay.
She inspects the home. She finds that her daughter's underwear and T-shirt were missing, but the rest of the clothes were neatly folded by her.
Oh.
So it wasn't
all
just
her
thrown.
Stuff is there, but
everything
she clearly
is
left.
There. The only things of items of her clothes that were missing was underwear and a T-shirt. So she.
Now,
it was like she was sleeping.
Yeah, but.
Somebody took
on.
Her.
Does the mom really know every single thing she packed?
Well, she saw. She probably saw her the night before and knew what she was wearing. So
well,
she knew
and
that.
She probably packed her bag for her.
And she probably
saw
another outfit and assumed that would be for that day.
Yeah.
But she was probably looking, and I'm sure the police probably interviewed her, too, about what she would have maybe brought with her. There was evidence in the bathroom to suggest the girls had taken off their makeup the night before, too.
Oh, that makeup residue.
So, and then Janice also noted the purses of all three women were lined up outside Susie's room, which she found was odd. So they were just
they wouldn't be lined
all
up.
All three purses lined up
nobody
right outside Susie's room. Which is weird.
Right.
And the television she saw on, just like it was before, and the other kids hadn't turned it off, so yeah. It was on. Then she said she saw a voicemail on the machine. The machine was blinking.
This is back in the day. Younger listeners, there was a thing called answering machines.
Right, and it would blink red.
We didn't all
you
have
a message.
Phones in our pockets. We couldn't be reached at all times. There would be an answering machine at your house with a light, and that's how you'd know somebody called
yes.
you.
So it's blinking, and she goes over and pushes it, which
she wants to hear it.
She doesn't know what's happened, and so she just, you know. So there were several messages on there. Some were from friends, but then there was one from this obscene phone call
the obscene
guy
phone
again.
Caller's back.
Yes.
I'm thinking this is the suspect.
And so she somehow accidentally deletes all the messages.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Between her and Mike?
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
I know it. So she uses their landline and calls the police. That's when the police start to get involved.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is more than 16 hours more after the women were last seen.
16 hours.
So Stacy's parents finally contact the police. This is now late Sunday night.
Late Sunday night. That's all
you
know. This is when Murder
hours,
She Wrote.
Yeah.
Way after Murder She Wrote was on.
Yeah. So because of this, there had been a lot of friends and family members that had visited
minutes.
The house before the police had a chance to even investigate.
Everybody screwed up the scene.
Yeah, the crime scene was completely contaminated. Police asked Janice.
And now we're at after the Bulls game is over.
Yes, and police asked the mom for dental records for her daughter just in case, which that's got to be one of the worst things to hear as a parent when you say your daughter's missing. They end up going there the following day, and then by that time, as many as 10 people had visited the scene.
Oh, no.
So Stacy's mother said all of her clothes were there except the T-shirt and the pair of underwear, and there was evidence when they went to bed. So basically the time frame that we have is 2 a.m. That was 2:30 a.m. was the last time they were seen driving to 8 a.m.
Somebody
when
saw
the phone
them drive
calls.
At 2:30.
Yes. So between the 2:30 a.m. and then the 8 a.m. when the
phone call from the heavy breathing.
Something happened and we don't know what. Once their disappearance
this
was
is made, gripping.
Don't you love us? Once their disappearance was made public, this was a little while, a couple weeks later, and they hadn't they didn't publicize it until, and so this woman comes forward and says, she's just this woman that is a nearby area woman.
Yeah.
She said she saw Susie crying. She was driving an old greenish van around 6 a.m. the day of their disappearance, and she was crying, and so she backed up. What?
The woman was driving a green van?
The girl, the 16-year-old girl, or the...
Who?
The Susie, one of the graduates, one of the high school girls.
Is she the daughter?
The daughter.
Of the one who's missing?
She's one of the missing girls.
Which one?
The one whose mom... Yeah, she's the daughter of the... She's the daughter of the one who's missing.
She's the one who Susie lived
Streeter.
In the house.
Yes.
Susie Streeter.
Lived in that house. So
say this again. This woman comes forward and she says she saw Susie.
She saw Susie Streeter driving this old greenish van, and it's like then she pulled in.
When did she see her?
About 6 a.m.
That day. The morning she was missing.
Yes. And that she said she saw her pull into this nearby driveway, and she heard a male voice say, "Back out slowly and don't do anything stupid."
Oh,
and
she's in a van. Right?
Yes. And so I don't know why it took her 2 weeks to report this. She couldn't see a man, but she heard a man's voice say that.
She heard a dude's voice.
Now, the police were so thin on evidence that they made a replica of this van, and they put it in front of the Springfield Police Department to see if anybody recognized it. A paper boy did say he had seen a similar van, and there was a lot of other tips that came in because of it, because of them doing that, but nothing ever really materialized.
Now, vans to me are all creepy.
Especially a dark, old dark green van.
Well, when you say dark green van, my uncle Terry.
Oh boy.
Who you're very familiar
did
with.
Did you take a shit in that? Because you seem to have taken a shit in everything at Terry's.
No, I took a shit in the garage and Terry shoveled it. Other than that, Terry had a green van. Terry might be a suspect. Terry
no,
Sandwich.
No, he might be.
No.
We're getting into this. We're getting ready to get to the suspects because there's no short.
No, but
there's no shortage of total creepers.
Here's what
this.
I was trying to get to. Do you think vans are... is there any instance where vans aren't creepy?
That's a minivan. Minivans are fine.
I think all vans are creepy.
No, I think cargo vans are creepy. So, let's get to the suspects. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, there's a suspect.
There's different ones. There, I can't wait like for I said, this. There's no shortage creepers.
I'm
in
going
this
to
story.
Admit right now that you did a great job with this.
Oh, you like this one?
The number one, I didn't know about it. It's not famous.
And it's
two,
interesting.
You kept it from me good enough. And number three, I can't wait. I'm gripped.
You're gripped? Good. Okay.
I'm
good.
At the edge of my seat.
Good. Good, good.
My balls hurt from being on that
so,
edge of my seat.
The first suspect
was
Cheryl's son, Bart Streeter. So this is. Susie Streeter's brother.
She's got a son.
Yes.
You didn't tell me about this, dude.
Yes. So, Bart.
Bart.
Streeter. With two T's.
Bart with two T's?
Yeah,
B-A-R-T-T?
Yes.
Stop right now.
He did it. Okay, so he had a little bit of a drinking problem.
He did
Isn't
it.
Isn't that special? And since we're in the 90s, I'll say that. He had previously fought with his mother and sister about his drinking problems. There was one point where Susie actually moved in with him, but that didn't work out. They had a falling out, and she moved back in with her mom.
That was not good.
But he did live on his own. But he gave the authorities an alibi. Neighbors corroborated that he was home all night.
Okay.
So he was ruled out as a suspect quickly.
Those fucking neighbors again.
So another suspect was Susie's ex-boyfriend, Dustin Recklaw. Now, Dustin and his friend, Michael Clay, were already on the old authorities' radar.
Is that the same Michael that cleaned the glass?
No, this is a different dude. And because they had been caught going into cemeteries, into mausoleums, you know, those are the above-the-ground graves.
Yeah.
And they were stealing skulls and bones and stealing the gold teeth out of the skulls and trying to pawn them.
And stealing gold from Sammy Davis Jr.?
Yeah, stealing gold from Sammy Davis Jr.'s ass. No, they were charged with institutional vandalism for selling gold teeth they stole from corpses. So,
well, I'd say that's a pretty good suspect right there, too.
And Clay, the friend, had also reportedly said he wished all three of those women were dead.
Well,
so,
that's a suspect.
The police could also not confirm their alibi. They said they were at a rock concert. But I'm thinking, that's not an alibi because the girls didn't get home till 2:30 in the morning.
Rock concerts are over.
Yes. Ding, ding, a ding, a ding. So, but there's been no evidence that links them to the crime, but neither man has been ruled out right now as a suspect.
The one who fucking said they wanted him dead, yeah. That dude did it.
But there's no evidence.
But
so,
Bart with three T's.
And that's also hearsay.
I can see the court case right now. This guy said he wanted them all dead. Yes, Your Honor, but Bart with three T's.
Two T's. Susie had given a statement to police implicating the boys for stealing the corpses and selling them. So Susie testified against.
Oh, well, there you
not
go.
Testified. She gave a police statement that implicated them. So,
yeah, that's it.
But Dustin and Michael cooperated with the police. They're still considered suspects, though, to this day. The next suspect, his name was Stephen Eugene Garrison.
Stephen Eugene Garrison.
He comes to police, and he tells them that a friend at a party confessed to him during a drunken party, that the friend confessed to murdering these three women.
A friend confessed to Steve Garrison?
To Steve Eugene Garrison. And he knew information that was unknown to the public. They searched two sites where he said that they'd find their bodies, and they said they'd find a moss green van about 12 miles from the site.
You didn't say moss green before.
Well, dark green. The property that they searched was coincidentally the same site that law enforcement searched in 1990 for two missing people, which was owned by this man who pled guilty to two counts of second-degree murder.
Two other missing people.
And a gag order was placed on the search. They didn't want to talk about the items found at the site. The police never said what they found. And also, Garrison was serving 40 years for kidnapping, raping, and terrorizing a Springfield college student.
So he was already in jail when he confessed to this.
Told him about it.
At a party? What kind of party?
I don't know. And in 93, police tracked Garrison's movements once they put him on the radar as a suspect. He later pled guilty to two counts of second-degree murder and served 40 years for kidnapping, raping, and terrorizing a Springfield college student. All right, so the next guy is Gerald Carnahan. There's a lot of dirt balls in Springfield, Missouri, apparently,
well,
during this time.
All of Missouri is filled with basically scum.
So
anybody who's ever lived
you're
in Missouri.
We're getting a lot of fans from you saying
hey,
that.
Hey, Missourians, anybody who lives in Missouri is a piece of shit.
All right. Gerald Carnahan was convicted of first-degree murder and rape in 2010 that happened in 1985.
Okay.
Within a week of the murder, they looked at him at the time in 92, but not until 2007 did DNA prove that it was him, that this murder and rape was him.
A murder and rape from 85.
From 85.
When Hulk Hogan won the belt from the Iron Sheik.
And 1993 to 94, he served time for burglary, attempted kidnapping, attempting to abduct an 18-year-old in 95, and he was living in the area at the time, but there was no other evidence that points to him.
All right.
And then Larry Dwayne Hall lived with his twin in Missouri. He was one of those Civil War reenactors.
Oh, God. Civil War reenactors.
I went to college with one.
You went to college with a Civil War reenactor?
Yeah. He was roommates with one of the theater guys. And it was ridiculous.
There was a theater
There's
guy who lived with a Civil War.
A little bit wrong with the Civil War reenactors.
If you are a Civil War reenactor and you listen to our podcast, thank you for listening. But what's your deal, dude? Email me at historyforjerks@gmail.com.
So he owned a green van. He traveled all over the country doing reenactments, and he later murdered a 15-year-old and was suspected in many abductions, disappearances, and murders.
Maybe this guy
up
did
to
it.
30 to 40 of them. He confessed once they
he did it.
Once they brought him in for questioning to the 15-year-old, he confessed to all these other murders.
Not
and then
this
he stopped
one,
and then he stopped talking.
Oh.
And then they couldn't get him to talk again. And so they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it
admitted
into court. So those guys, and now we're going to the creme de la creme. We're getting
creme
to the last
one.
Finally, this lead comes to light in the form of Robert Craig Cox.
Robert Craig Cox.
Yes. So he was a trained Army Ranger, and he had been arrested and convicted in Florida for the murder of Sharon Zellers.
Okay. Here's the sad thing. There's so many suspects.
Yeah.
We don't know who did this because there's so many gross creeps in the area that it could be any of these gross, disgusting, weirdos in Missouri.
So he was back in 1985. Two different
1985 when Hulk Hogan won the WWF Championship from Iron Sheik. 85
convicted
Hulk
of
Hogan,
two Iron different Sheik. Abduction attempts, and served 9 years in prison. Then he was let out. Then he was convicted for the murder of Sharon Zellers. The judge then overturned the conviction,
right?
And determined that
Sharon Zellers deserved it.
Well, the evidence only gave suspicion of guilt rather than the proof of guilt. And he was paroled in 1992 and sent to live with his parents in Springfield, Missouri.
Maybe if you go
putting him in the right place at the right time.
Maybe if you go live with your parents in Missouri, everything will be fine, and they'll
He worked as an electrician, which many people speculate would be an excellent ruse to enter a home.
Although electricians make some good money.
And police also discovered that Cox had previously worked with Stacy's father at his car lot.
Oh, shit.
Cox's girlfriend at the time corroborated his alibi, but years later, however, she recanted her statement. She claimed Cox told her to lie if cops ever asked her where they were that June weekend.
And she did because she was afraid of him.
And 3 years later, after this incident, he was arrested for assaulting a 12-year-old.
Well, there's some 12-year-olds who deserve to be assaulted.
Now, when he was in jail, he toyed with police a little bit. He said he knew that the women were dead, the Springfield three women were dead. Furthermore, he knew where they were buried. Uh-huh. And he was a notorious attention seeker, though.
Did they find them where he said they were?
Well, listen, they were unsure whether or not Cox was just lying about his involvement to keep himself in the limelight. While he was the most promising suspect, they have no concrete evidence to convict him. And so eventually the case goes cold.
Cold case files.
Investigating the case has led to nothing but dead ends and frustration. Theories about what happened to the women that night range from satanic cult activity to human trafficking, which, God, I hope I would rather be dead than be in human traffic.
Yes.
Involved in that. Several tips led police to investigate the South Park. Oh, okay. So the South parking garage at the Cox Hospital, which no relation to Robert Cox. It's just called Cox Hospital.
It was a hospital.
It was under construction when the three women disappeared.
Yes.
A local reporter hired Rick Norland, who was a mechanical engineer who specializes in ground-penetrating radar.
Oh, Rick Norland, y'all.
To scan the parking lot.
Yeah, scan it, brother.
And there was one small area of the parking lot that had three anomalies. And the anomalies, Norland said the anomalies were similar to what he'd see in a graveyard.
Anomalies.
So he's scanning and remember, it was under construction.
Right.
I feel like I sound like a dipshit with this stuffy nose.
You do.
He's scanning the graveyard. And he stops at these three anomalies similar to what he would find in a graveyard.
Yeah, anomaly.
You're not getting what I'm saying.
Anomalies!
But the police refused to have a core sample taken from the concrete.
Because
they refuse, I guess. There's been people that have offered to pay to have the core samples taken, and the hospital has said no. There's been 5,000 tips over the years. The case remains unsolved. In 1997, the police declared the three women legally dead. Still, the case has not yet been closed. So any information that anyone out there has is still welcome by the police.
Welcome, but even though I ain't going to do nothing about it.
And I got a lot of my information from thelineup.com.
Thelineup.com.
Also, there's a fantastic podcast called True Crime Garage that...
Listen to True Crime Garage.
That I got a lot of. They go way deep diving into some of these cases, and I got a lot from them as well, and they're really cool.
And please sponsor our podcast. Only $10,000 a month, and you can.
So what do you think happened?
I think they're in that garage. I want to know about this Cox Hospital, and can we look in the
What do you think happened?
Well, I think that fucking dude did it.
Which one?
The dude who knew where they were. Who knows that they're buried in that garage? That
the engineer? The mechanical engineer that saw the anomalies?
No, the last guy you said.
Oh, Cox. Robert Craig Cox.
Cox.
He said he wouldn't confess he wouldn't say where they were until his mother dies, is what the last thing he said.
Is his mother still alive?
Yes.
What's her name?
Something Cox. I don't know.
Let's take care of business.
But
I don't want to kill anybody. No, but I think he did it because he knows they're in that garage. But is that Cox Hospital still a thing?
Yeah.
Let's go visit it. Ooh. We have an obligation as a podcasting family to go visit
So you think he, what do you think? He, so So they got there at 2:30 a.m. They got. It's evident to me, if the only thing missing was T-shirt and underpants, that they were already had gone to bed.
Yeah, I think this dude saw these.
So you think he snuck in the house and in the middle of the night?
Whatever it was, he saw these girls. They were drunk. They came home drunk.
But the mom wasn't drunk.
No, but she was asleep.
There was no signs of a struggle, which is the weird thing.
Mom was asleep. She was 43 and she was a cosmetologist.
No sign of forced entry either.
They work hard. Cosmetologists, shout out to cosmetologists. Hey, they work hard.
But listen.
She was asleep. Listen. No, listen to me. She was asleep, and the girls came home drunk, and he saw the girls. That's how he came to the house. He followed them. Wherever they were partying it up at a hotel, he's probably some creep at a hotel, followed them home.
Remember, he knew the dad. He worked at the car dealership.
Okay. So maybe he knew the girls were going to stay
there.
He probably
saw him.
Probably saw him somewhere.
Saw him at the car dealership and was like, oh, say.
Yeah, hot chicks, say. So anyway, whatever it is, he followed them home. Saw him somewhere, blah, 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 blah. Knew that it was just going to be women and no men in the house, so he wouldn't have it to fight.
But how did he abduct all three of them without a sign of a struggle in their house? That's the weird part to me.
If he's got a gun.
Everything was so neat.
All you need is a gun.
Yeah.
You walk in at 7 in the morning. Boom.
You see, you think it was in the morning, in the broad daylight like that? No neighbor saw anything?
Somebody did. Remember, they said they saw the
six
van.
6 in the morning, they saw it.
They saw her in the van and him telling or whatever.
Now, it's interesting, the other guy, the one that was the Civil War reenactor, he had actually, it'd be interesting to look up other things about him, because he's got a twin brother.
Oh, anybody who has a twin is
here's gonna be your favorite. It's Larry and Gary,
y'all.
Yeah, he's got a twin brother, and
I knew twins named Larry and Gary.
Well, and he goes all over the country, and when he murdered that 15-year-old, he like burst into tears and he started confessing to all of these murders. And like, police really think that he might be a serial killer that was out for a long time going around, because it's so hard to catch a serial killer if they're transient like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting, even if he didn't do it, it'd be interesting to see
maybe all of these suspects,
if they've pinned any crimes on him since then, because according to him, it was like 30 and 40 different times.
Jeez. What if this is the only case where all these suspects all accidentally worked together and murdered all these people? Like, oh, whoops, you just got attacked by 5 different serial killers that don't know each other, but they all live
in tiny Springfield,
they all live
Missouri.
In this tiny town. They all work together to murder all of you, and
that could be.
And they just enjoyed each other.
But I thought that was a good case. I thought it was fascinating.
That's a good one. I never heard of it, and I still don't know what happened. If you're listening and you have an opinion, tweet us at History for Jerks. That's our Twitter handle.
Oh, it is.
Or you can go to historyforjerks.com, leave a comment. Let us know what you think happened.
Yep.
Do you have a lead? Are you out there listening to this and you know what happened? Right. Are you the murderer? Confess at historyforjerks.com.
That's right. It's the best place to confess.
Or tweet us at historyforjerks. Or follow us on Stitcher and review us. And in your review, tell us that you did it.
And give us 5 stars.
And, also give us 5 stars. Also, just, send us money.
We'll
like,
do it.
You
yep.
know,
gonna do it.
You know, a cool 10 grand would be fine.
All right, let's wind this up.
Yep, and thank you for listening to 1992. That was
1992.
I hope you enjoyed this. 1992 was, but that was the year Ric Flair was really, Macho Man was really after Ric Flair. So.
All right, we already heard we had plenty of that.
Fuck you. Thank you for listening.
So 1992, get out of here, Chuck Berry.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry. Matt Truman, sing it, baby.